take away the blues. And I've come to say I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special. 'Cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Thanksgiving, America. Parts of the world, I want to say happy gratitude day to you. I want you to always remember to show gratitude. And, you know, in America, we celebrate Thanksgiving on the 25th tomorrow. Is the day we celebrate Thanksgiving. Lots of eating of turkey, sweet potato, colored green pie, and the list goes on and on. But I ask the question, should it only be for the feasting on the foods, or should we really be digging deep down to find out and also to express the things that we are grateful for? It has become a practice of mine over the years, as a matter of fact, since I have been residing here in the USA. I'm originally from Jamaica, and we never celebrated Thanksgiving there. But upon arriving here, it has become a practice of mine to celebrate this week as Gratitude Week, where each day I express 21 things that I am grateful for. So it has been enhancing my life over the years, and I just want to ask you to try that out and see what it does for you. I had challenged all my followers on Facebook and Twitter and all the other places that I am 2 weeks ago, I think, to pick that channel up, challenge up. Only two people replied to that. But for those two, I want to give them congratulations. And so that's just what I wanted to say this morning. We have a powerful show lined up for you this morning. And as you all know, that I am such an advocate for social media, because the lady that I have on this morning, she and I met on LinkedIn, and she's been hanging out with me in the virtual green room for a bit now. I know she's on fire to present to you, and I will bring her on momentarily. Our honored guest today is going to be Mrs. Tanya R. Bates. And Mrs. Bates, for those of you who have been reading the blog on the radio site about her, she is a guru into grant writing, and she has so many skills and talents. You're going to hear a bit about her story. She's a jewelry designer and all that good stuff. So she decided to come on this morning to help us understand where we can find the money to support our dreams and visions. So I'll bring her on. Remember, you can always call in when you have a question. We want for this to be an extremely interactive show, so we want for you to get involved. The chat room is up and running, and the phone number to call is 1-646-915-8166. And remember, even if you're in the chat room and you have a question, we encourage you to call in. And I want to go ahead and just to welcome. I noticed my guest is in the chat room already to And also guest number 279, thank you for coming. And we just know that this show will be worth your while. So without any further delay, I want to take this honor and this privilege and pleasure to welcome my distinguished guest, Mrs. Tanya Bates. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Daphne. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, and I am so excited to be in your company on this Gratitude Week, because you are one of those things that one of the lists that I am so grateful for. You are a mover, you are a shaker, you are a lady that is on a powerful path that you were created for, and this is why I feel so honored that you decide to come on the show this morning, not only to share your story, but to tell us how we can get out of our loungers and get busy. So I want to thank you on this pre-Thanksgiving day for taking time from your family to be with us.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning to everyone that is listening. I guess great minds think alike, and, you know, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I feel the same way about you, and I'm looking forward to informing, inspiring, and empowering.
Thank you.
Along with you.
Thank you so very much. Tanya, Well, I want to let the guests know. Normally, I have let the visitors and listeners know. Normally, I have 2, 3, or 4 guests, but I tell you, with the wealth of knowledge that Tanya comes with, it would not be the right thing to split this platform this morning. So I'm here to tell you, she's here for the entire show. And I know you all have a big grin on your faces, and it is well worth it. So, Tanya, I want to do first things first. Let us hear about your story and your beginning, and then we are going to spend the latter part of the show going into all the things you are doing and where you can point us
for okay.
some money. So let's talk about Tanya Bates and all the humble beginning. We all got a story.
Well, I'm originally from Rockford, Illinois, and that's about 72 miles northwest of Chicago. And I migrated to Michigan after graduating from undergrad and really began my continued my education because I moved to Michigan to go to law school and did that and ended up getting married and having a young son. And so, went to Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, and am currently finishing a master's with a specialty in education, but also instructional design and curriculum development. And then I'm also doing a dual major where I will be completing a master's in evaluation. So with all of that, that gives me a very diverse background to be able to bring to the grant writing industry. I've been writing unofficially since I was 16, on the book since 18, and it was always my backup plan. But little did I know that when I went to law school, I would have a change of heart and would decide not to pursue the law degree, but, you know, finish the education. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, but knew I would be in a service industry where I would be helping people to live their purpose and make the best out of their lives that they can possibly do. And it just, you know, came back to me over and over and over again that the grant writing was the way to do that. And so now I do that full time, and I have a grant writing consultancy, M1 Consulting Group, under the umbrella of M1 International Corporation. And I recently relocated back to the Chicago area, so I'm in Illinois right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what Tanya did not mention, she writes grant internationally as well, not only in the U.S. So if you are listening and you're thinking, oh, well, my dream is not for the U.S., it's for somewhere else, you can talk to the sister, I tell you. You are going to be floored with all the information. So I want to talk about your design aspect. because I know you got some bad pieces of jewelry on there. And I was thinking the sister bought them until you said, oh, no, I make them. Let's talk about that. How did that get started and where you are looking to go with that?
Well, you know, I started doing that as a way to de-stress because I was when I was working for other people, I found that there was a certain bit of unrest that always, you know, rested with me. I could never fully get comfortable in a position where I was working 9 to 5 for someone else. And little did I know that that was God making sure that I was uncomfortable so I wouldn't stay there. But I started the jewelry line. I started doing it as a way of de-stressing and keeping me from, you know, really overreacting and blurting out and telling people off and all that kind of stuff. So I really started that about 7 years ago. And, you know, with everything else, with practice, you just get better and better. Probably in the end of 2006, we announced that we were going to begin to take consultants and do more of a direct selling where we'd have consultants that would do home shows or go to the expos and other means of, you know, being able to show their project, their work through booths. And so now we do have consultants, and they're actually all over the United States. And I just got word that there was a woman internationally that was interested in joining us. So
wonderful. God is good.
All the time. And the jewelry is just really a way for me to relax and also to be able to express my creativity. And I'm also working on a shoe line, and I'm really hoping that in 2011 I'll be able to bring that to fruition as well. So that's why I really use a lot of my creative juices.
Wonderful.
Not that I don't use that with the grant writing, but this is just a different expression of creativity.
And that's what entrepreneurship is all about, having multiple streams of income. And when I say multiple streams of income, listeners, I'm not talking about those people who are sitting down watching late night television and see that you can come a multimillionaire in 3.5 hours. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about tapping into your creativity that you were born with and help to use that to make an income for yourself. So let me ask you a question about the consultants.
Sure.
Are they designing their own products or they are selling the ones that you design as well?
Because I like to make sure that things are very unique and you won't see, you know, them cookie cutter on another person, I only make 1 to 2 pieces of a particular set. And what they're doing is they will purchase the sets from me wholesale and then turn around and sell them retail.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because there is another lady, and I'm not going to mention it on the show, seeing that she's not a sponsor, that I met last March, and she's also an evangelist, and now she's doing great with her jewelry. So I can only pray for your continued success. And I've looked on the pieces there, and they are amazing things. You know, I keep telling the listeners and even people when I speak one-on-one, Tanya, I tell them, listen, you all keep blaming the economy. We just need to get busy with our creativity because the world's economy is going to be turned around with us as entrepreneurs. No?
Well, and also, there are millionaires in the economy. If it was so bad, there wouldn't be any millionaire or billionaire.
That's right.
And
there
still are millionaire and billionaires. And so that lets you know that, you know, there is a demand for services and products. You just
have
to figure out what that niche is and, you know, consolidated with your own creativity to make it so. It's not hard. It's just you have to know where you're going and have a vision and focus and get to getting there.
Exactly. And the other thing I think as entrepreneurs, another aspect that we need to look on is the aspect of being lone rangers. Because if you look on all the multi-billionaires, they are not doing it by themselves. They're not just out there in la-la land stressing themselves. They are pooling resources with people in Japan, people in Israel, people in this place, that place. And they are sitting right here in Manhattan. So
that's right.
They can get so
right.
creative. Why are we sitting down ripping our hair out? There is enough out there for all of us. Because we don't
that's
need
right.
to be tripping over each other. So we just need to pool resources and work together. So don't ever think that you are alone out there. You're only alone if you decide you want to be selfish. But there's always somebody you can extend a hand to. And spend money on yourself. You know, get a coach. Get a mentor. You know, find out who is a role model that is doing what you want to do. And open your mouth and ask questions. Don't sit there and be by yourself. So
that's 100% true, because I, you know, don't take no for an answer. I keep asking until I get a yes. And so I think that one of the other things that we really need to be dedicated to is being a lifelong student. If there's mm-hmm. something that you can do, pick up a book and learn a little bit about it, and that prevents people from being able to take advantage of you.
That's right.
And, you know, knowledge truly is power. That's not cliche. That's 100% true, because, right. you know, you need to know something about what you say you're mm-hmm. interested in. I mean, it's not enough just to have a passion for it. You need
that's
to
right.
educate yourself on it, because then people can't, you know, kind of slip one in over on you or mm-hmm. take advantage of you. And, you know, we know that that happens a whole lot.
You
so
know,
it's really ooh. Important to do that.
Yeah, you know, Tanya, I remember years ago when I was living back in Jamaica, I was elected to be the president of the Montego Bay Atlanta Sister Cities Committee.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Tanya, I was working as a nurse. I didn't know nothing about public speaking. The only thing I was doing was talking to my patients and the visitors when they come. I didn't know anything about taking the platform. But I was going to that meeting because I was involved in the community doing stuff. And I guess they love my energy, so they elected me. And you know what I did, Tanya? I would go home. I remember the first time I was in Atlanta on the TV screen. When they came to the mayor's office for the press conference, I had not been on television before. I froze. I had something written on the paper. I froze. I didn't know what to say, what to do. I was just standing there looking. And I said, oh, man, that's not going to happen again. I have to get busy, and I got to practice, practice, practice. I tell you, Tanya, I line up the dining room chairs at home around the table. I put some utensils, and I stand at the top, and I began speaking. And I look on all those furniture as if they were people.
Mm-hmm.
And until now, I still live alone. And when I'm going to do a presentation, I do the very same. I practice at home. I'm in my car, and people probably think, this woman is going crazy. She's talking to herself. I'm practicing. Because you got to practice, practice in order to improve and sharpen your craft and your skills. So,
that's right. And really, a lot of people don't know, but if you have researched and read about a specific topic, they say after 5 years, you can consider yourself an expert in that topic.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, it's not just about, oh, I don't want to do this, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, it really can get very costly if you don't know about some things. It's very important as a business owner, an entrepreneur, and someone who's interested in being an entrepreneur, that you really, you know, educate yourself. And really, you know, you don't have to pay for a lot of things. That's what I tell a lot of my clients and a lot of, you know, business people that I network with, that, you know, you guys are putting out too much money. Let me show you how you can do it and do it better, but without spending so much money, or, if, you know, even spending any money at all. That's the importance of strategic partnerships and collaborations, and learning what your wealth is, your value is, and then knowing how to utilize that value as leverage to get
mm-hmm.
what you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to the people on the Forbes list, the wealthiest people, they'll tell you that you know, they're having dinner, they're playing golf, they may be Facebook buddies. There's a lot of things that they're doing that they didn't think that they would be doing in order to further their business. Now, I'm not saying you compromise your ethics or
and
your value. Integrity.
That's right.
But you do look for ways to be able to strategically align yourself with people who
mm-hmm.
are either where you want to be or where you would like to be.
That
continues to keep you something to seek to attain for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are so right, Dan, Tanya, because it was just last week I was speaking with an expert out in Denver, and I was picking his brains about something, and he said to me, Tanya, the same thing you're saying now. He said, look for the people close to you that is doing that thing. Call them up. You don't need to know them. He said, call them up, take them to lunch, find out what they are looking for before you put a plan together to present. I said, listen, this was worth the call, because I wasn't going to think that I could just call somebody who I'm looking to invest in what I'm doing and say, take them to lunch. He said, yeah, but that's what the wealthy do. And you are here affirming the same thing. So thank you. I think if we plug out the microphones now, this show would have accomplished a lot. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another thing that's really important is that, you know, you only one life, so it's really important that you find out what your purpose is and then begin to work in that purpose, because, you know, there's nothing worse than being on a job 30 years and then you retire and you're like, oh, my God, where did my life go? Well, I'm not at retirement age, nowhere near, but I'm planning on retiring at 40. You know, and that's from working smarter, not harder. But, you know, don't let anybody make you think that your dreams are not important and the impact that you want to make in the world is not important, because if you have that in you, God put that in you for a reason. So don't let anybody try to take that away from you. And don't be afraid to step out on, you know what I mean? Because when you talk to ministers, one of the things that they say is that they take risks. Not all of them are calculated. But
that's right.
Take risks, and you have to be able to risk something to be able to gain much. And, you know, the saying goes around, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected.
That's so true.
And to be able to have impact, you have to be willing to do some things that make you uncomfortable, which is why you should never get comfortable in the first place.
That's right. Can I tell you something? I'm going to surprise you. You are thinking you're going to retire at 40. But you're not, because you cannot retire from yourself.
That's true.
When you're working on creating legacies, sister, you ain't going nowhere. So surprise, surprise.
That's true. That's true. I don't think I could sit down if I wanted to.
Oh, man, how are we going to do that? Because we are creating legacies. I mean, we'll probably streamline and push all the people that we have mentored and trained and groomed in the front, but we're going to be in that second row with a big
That's
old
right.
in on our faces, you know. And
it
is just such good feeling. So
right,
grant money, grant writing and all of that, is grants only for nonprofits, Tanya?
No. Let me go ahead and clear up that myth. It is not. Now, there are times when you can find grants as an individual. But, you know, when you see things about, I don't want to say his name, but there used to be a guy on TV and he used to have question marks all over his suit saying, money, the government has money. And, you know, talk about, you know, doing that for individuals. And I can't tell you how many individuals come to me, because there's really this preconceived notion that, you know, when you apply for a grant as a person, a for-profit, a non-profit, an NGO, which is a non-governmental organization, which is what they have internationally, you know, people are under the impression, well, if I don't get the grant, then you need to give me my money back for the work you did. Well, you know, there is money available, but there's work involved. You know, there's work involved. And the economic downturn has been responsible for changing the way that grant writers kind of do business. And, you know, whereas before you may have said at a company, a nonprofit, you know, I'd like to go for this $900,000 grant. So as the grant writer, you may charge them $16,000 to write the grant, where you won't get anything on the back end if they're awarded the grant. So it's really important to have a really clear picture of who you're hiring as your grant writer, know what their credentials are, get some references so that you can talk to some people that have worked with them and, you know, be able to move forward with an educated decision-making ability versus just taking people's word for it. Plenty of money available.
Can I just interject something here?
Sure.
Two things. That person with the question mark over the suit, I had the opportunity of meeting the person personally because I do some community work here for the local prisons.
Uh-huh.
And 1 year when we had the job fair, that person was there.
Uh-huh.
same thing that you're saying. And,
uh-huh.
and the other things about grant writers and choosing the right one, I always tell people that they are grant writers. And then there are grant writers that write grants and they're awarded. So
right.
you got to be, you know, it's important to know their track record.
That's right. Continue,
Tanya.
Right. And the other thing that's really important about grant writing is, as the client, you have an active role in the process. It's not where you just give the grant writer the information and... you know, that's where it ends. You have an active role because my clients, I seek to make sure that, God forbid, anything ever happens to me, when we're done writing that first grant, they're educated, they understand the process, and they can do it themselves if they needed to. You should never, as a service provider, be one where make it where your client is so crippled that they can't do anything for themselves. And people say, well, you're writing yourself out of business. No.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it properly, they're going to be back because you'll have won their approval by showing them, teaching them, and meeting their needs.
Right, and they'll tell others. And that's what, you know, that fear is what cripples a lot of people, fear and insecurity. Because if you do good by me, am I not going to tell somebody about you?
I
have not done any work with you yet. However, we got into a conversation, and you sent me material, and I look and references and all of that. And then last Thursday, I was speaking with a woman, and it came to my mind. I needed to connect her with you because I'm sure... she could discuss with you and get some money to go back into the business that she's passionate about. And I put it in an email and sent to you. Now, if I did not have some sort of confidence in what you're doing, I would not have done that. So
Absolutely.
It's not true that you're writing yourself out of business. That is selfish thought. Yes, so... We dispelled the myth that grants are only for nonprofits.
Right.
Now,
and
seems
also,
that, yes.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
What I was going to say was, in addition, they're not just for nonprofits, and grants are not just money. It can be products and services, and
mm-hmm.
I'll just use a nonprofit as an example, but with that 501c3 status, you really have a gold mine there because you can really leverage it to be able to get what you need without spending a lot of money. And I know,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, my God, that's the third time you said that. But it really is that serious that if you know what you have and you can use it properly, you can leverage and get what you need and
mm-hmm.
still have the money you need to move forward
mm-hmm.
in the programs and services that you'd like to offer to other people. So
mm-hmm.
it's really important to understand that it's not just about money, but
mm-hmm.
it's also about products and services
mm-hmm.
that you or your company may need, okay, and then may not, you know, have the financial propensity to be able to get, but you do have your 501c3 status, and it's
mm-hmm.
worth its weight in gold. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So let us, seeing that we are here as entrepreneurs and we're looking to give these entrepreneurs, both those who are listening live and those who will listen on archive and all of that, where
mm-hmm.
do we begin as entrepreneurs, Tanya?
Well, as entrepreneurs, the one thing I'd say is to write or begin to educate yourself on how to do a business plan, because a business plan is going to be very important to prove that you have thought it out, that you have done the research, you figured out who your target population is going to be, how your services will meet that need, and then any projected outcome that could happen, how you're going to evaluate your programs, and also what kind of budget you have to do so. All of that shows that it's not just a fling, that you've taken time to really think about this and think about the business and say, this is how I'm going to make a difference. This is how I'm going to go about making a difference. This is the population that I'd like to serve, and this is how much it's going to cost.
Wonderful.
So I think, you know, educating yourself on a business plan and parts of those business plans would be great. That would
wonderful.
Be a really good first step.
All right. Now, and after we have all that in place, now we begin to look around for a grant writer.
Or you may start to do research to try to see what's out there in the way of grants yourself.
Okay.
Now, if you do begin to look for a grant writer, the one thing that's really important is that if you get to someone as a grant writer and they tell you, I can guarantee you'll get this grant, you need to get away from them fast and in a hurry.
Yeah, because that's not happening.
Well, and they don't control the perks, so they
can't.
They can't guarantee you anything, but if you speak to someone and they say that, that should, you know, really make you think, okay, that's not cool. And two, why do they feel like they can guarantee me that? And one of the things I tell, you know, my clients and other people that I speak to is that, you know, taking someone's money is synonymous of being in bed with them.
Repeat that for me, and repeat it slower so the people who are going to be listening on archive will get it.
Sure. What I said was, is taking money from someone is synonymous of being in bed with them.
All right now. And that is powerful right there. So every time we extend our hand out to get someone in it, we should be thinking that way. And thank you so very much for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I
no
want to
problem.
Piggyback on something you said about grant writers guaranteeing that they can get you the grant. And
okay.
I know that is very deceptive for people, for just say it blatantly, for them to do. The one thing I know as someone that have sat on numerous boards of nonprofits here in our state, I know that there are certain grant writers that has an excellent track record, and that people who are on the selection committee respects them for the same reason that they know they are not doing anything underhanded. But still, that does not put them in the position to guarantee what they are delivering to you.
That's right.
Yes. So continue, please, with what you were going to say.
The other thing that I was going to say was, when you look at a grant writer, you know, it's not uncommon. Ask them, you know, for maybe examples of their writing. References. References are so important, because you're hiring this person, and just like any other relationship, you want to be educated. So it'd be great if you could talk to other people that they work for. If they can't give you any references, you should be very suspect of them. Either they're very new or they have not been successful, because one of the things I can say, people ask me about my percentage of getting grants awarded, and I'll tell them, well, instead of talking about that, let's talk about the ones that I didn't get and why, and what and what I've learned as a result of not being able to get those. Because, you know, I mean, I'm in the 80 percentile, you know, and that's good, but I'm more concerned with, you know, why did
what,
I get
that 20%?
What was,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Why, what about it was, you know, was, did not, you know, meet the needs of
exactly.
the funding
selection.
Entity or the selection committee so that I'll know for next time because, you know, you it's a learning process, you know. And I tell my clients, you know, it's very interesting how people will say, well, you know, because I hear this just about daily. Well, if we don't get the grant, can I get some of my money back?
Ooh,
and the
Lord.
Thing that I think is really interesting about that is that we as Americans, we don't really have a collective mindset. What we have is an individual mindset.
That's
and places
right.
like India and Asia, they have a group mindset. It's about
exactly.
the group. And everybody in the group knows how to do the same thing so that if something happens, they can just pick up the slack. But here in the United States, we don't. We're very selective people.
Yep.
And it has to be signed, sealed, delivered before you will believe that it, you know, that this person knows what they're talking about. They have the ability to help me. And what's really interesting is I find that people tend not to trust people that look like them.
Oh, hallelujah! Ooh, that sermon was worth it. I'm telling you, Tanya.
You know,
go ahead, please.
No, that was my comment.
Okay, you know they say to get the right answers, we must at all times. Ask the right questions. What are some of the questions we need to be asking the grant writer? You spoke about reference and all of that. What are some other pertinent questions that we need to be asking in this preliminary conversation?
Ask them how they work. How big of a part do you play as the client? If they tell you they can do the whole thing without you, that's the wrong person. There is no way that a grant writer should ever not make the client 100% part of the process and responsible for the process.
Tanya,
so,
I don't know why. Occasionally, I hear your phone cutting out.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened. So we're going to be thing. So you said that the first. One of the first questions to ask is to ask how they do work, and they should allow you, the client, to be as inclusive as they possibly can because they cannot be doing it all by themselves because the goal and vision really is not there. So they really don't know all there is to know about it. So that's why a stimulation discussion is very, very, or maybe several. Is very, very
and,
important.
You know,
yes.
Make sure that you can ask them questions that you don't feel, you know, like you're imposing on them to ask them questions or their ability to answer your questions. I find if someone gets mad at you because you ask a question or you question them about their policies, procedures, the way they work, that, again, that's not the person for you because at the end of the day, this person is going to be stepping in front of a funding entity on your behalf asking them to give you money. So, I mean, the whole program, the whole process is about you as the organization.
So we just have to be comfortable, you know, doing what is expected of us, you know.
That's right.
Ask the questions. Don't feel as if, you know, don't feel humiliated in any way. Ask these pertinent questions, okay?
And know that when you pay for something, you know, you have the right to ask questions, but don't feel like you can minimize a person or what they say because you paid them. Does that make sense?
That's right.
Because
I've
seen a lot of people who, once they pay you, they think they own you. They can call you on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the morning, and you better be there to answer. No, you have to establish some really clear boundaries.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, let them know what you expect of them, what they can expect of you, and keep that dialogue going constantly and consistently.
Wonderful. Any other important questions?
Why they chose grant writing as a profession, and the reason why that is so important is if someone tells you that they're just doing this as a side hustle or just to make some extra money, you need to be a little bit, concerned about that, because if their attitude is lax, then their writing is going to be lax. That's going to be the tone of their writing, and you're not going to be able to really see your program come forth, because it's not going to be pushed through a very lackadaisical attitude, because people, you know, often write the way they speak. And so, you know, if someone talks to you, they're very lax, and, you know, they're willing to curse in front of you, and you're the client, and, you know, just, you know, getting really familiar instead of keeping it as, you know, very business appropriate and all of that, that should send up some red signs, because I don't think that they respect you or your project.
That's right. And it is so true. This last point that you said is so true. Because it's like in anything that we do, Tanya, a couple of years ago, I was having a conversation with a woman who had switched careers. Whatever she was doing, she began now selling real estate. And every time I would see her and I would ask, well, how is business? You know, and I'm always so excited. You would think I was the person who switched. And with the longest face she could muster up, Tanya, she'd tell me she wasn't making any money. And I gave her 3 chances to do that. And on the 3rd time when she did it, I said, well, you know the reason you're not making any money is because the people who you are taking out to show them houses, they see that you are only doing it to get into their pocketbook. So what they do, they go and buy it from other agents. And she could not believe I said that. She said to me, Tanya, who in my office you know and who are you talking to? I said, no, I'm not talking to anybody. But I know that that is what is happening. And you got to show people that you want to make a difference in their lives and in the lives of their family. So what you
That's
are saying is on the money. It is key. All right. Do we have any other questions? I know we're going to move on. We are doing fantastic. Any other questions that they need to ask?
Well, you know, what their background is, you know, their educational background, and then their work experience background, because, you know, if your area, you know, say you have a medical device or clinical trials for a brand new medicine, if someone was in marketing, they have a degree in marketing, and they really worked in retail, that wouldn't be a good fit.
Ah.
So it's important to look at the educational background and the work experience background, because that'll tell you, you know, a lot about what their interests are. Now, in my case, I have a very diverse background. So, you know, there's not too much people can't say that I'm like, oh, okay, I've either touched it or, you know, brushed up against it or something. But it's really important to ask those questions so that, you know, it's easier to figure out if, you know, that person is able to understand what you need and be able to relay that in the writing.
Man, you are good. I tell you, I have listened to grant writers. I have been listening to grant writers for a long time. And I've never, because I used to work at a couple of nonprofit agencies, and I've never, Tanya Bates, heard anybody delivered this way. So even before we come to the end of it, I just want to commend you with the enthusiasm, the professionalism, and everything that you do in delivering to your clients. You are good.
Oh, well, thank you, but I don't take, you know, credit for that. I just know that, you know, God is in me, and I'm very passionate about what I do, and it's supposed to be that way, that, you know, it's never about you. And the one thing that I tell people all the time, the best thing you can do is to ask people to do business with you. That's the best thing you can do for them, because if you have a service or a product that you know that they can't live without, but you show them that they are the focal point, not about your product and service, but you talk them, learn about them to see what their needs are, and then figure out how you can meet that need, well, then that's an instant client, and then that's going to be someone who will come back over and over again because you've made it not about you and your service,
right.
but about
that's
them
right.
and
right.
how you can help them.
Right. Did you say ask the client how you can work with them?
Yes, ask
okay,
them
yeah,
like what. Yes.
What you can do. It had cut out a minute, so that's why I was repeating it so that the people who are going to be listening later on will get it. All
sure.
right. So amazing, amazing, amazing points. Now, so let us now shift gears, Tanya, and
okay.
go into this aspect of it. And I know it varies. But people are living in the digital age, millennial age, and everybody's
yes.
looking on microwave result.
Right.
Now, what time frame should people set aside to have this whole process complete? Not to be doing cookie cutter stuff and all of that.
Really, to be really effective, to give you time to research your target market, to be able to figure out who you'd like to work with, not just who will work with you, but who you like to work with,
mm-hmm.
And then begin to break down what you need to know to have a good knowledge base, I would say it would take 6 months to a year.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, because a lot of people, they just hear about a grad because people send out announcement and quick they want to go apply for it. And if you're following what Tanya just shared with you here, you have to get the time vested in it to get the best results. So you cannot just be blaming the person who is writing the grant when you do find the person, but give them ample time to do their best work. So
that's
thanks,
right.
thank you for that. Now, monies for entrepreneurs. What are some of the monies that's out there that entrepreneurs can go after?
Well, some monies are, of course, the majority of the monies are focused towards small businesses and nonprofit organizations and then potential collaborative partnerships between nonprofits and for-profit businesses here in the United States, partnering with people from other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to be focused on what your mission is. If you say, I just want to work with kids, that's way too broad. You want to
right.
work with
what
them to do what?
Kids?
Do
exactly.
you want to help them to prevent obesity? Do you want to teach them about financial literacy? Do you want to do a family reunification if one of the parents has been incarcerated? See, there's just so much to that
mm-hmm.
just telling people that you want to work with children, it's not enough.
That's
so
right.
what's really important is to nail down what you're trying to do. And
mm-hmm.
it's great to have passion and want to make a difference and all of those things, but it's really important to know who you are trying to help because that's going to really determine what kind of grants you look for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I am willing to share a couple of resources with you, Ms. Daphne, and your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I found just totally invaluable is foundationcenter.org.
Foundation Center, and I don't type very well. Well, let me take that back. I just rebuke that. I do not type very fast. So
okay.
later on, if you type... Okay, you would you repeat that?
Yes, it's Foundation Center.
Foundationcenter.
.org.
Foundationcenter.org.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then another resource is grants.gov.
Grants.gov.
Correct.
Mhm.
And I share those two with you because they're kind of at the other ends, opposite ends of the range. Grants.gov is more of the federal grants.
Mhm.
And you know, the Foundation Center is more of the private entity.
Okay. That is good to hear. That is good to hear. All right. So let us switch gears. How can an entrepreneur also create and develop and design, if you may? I'm not sure which one best describe what I'm going to ask you. A nonprofit that goes alongside with their entrepreneurial endeavor. Is such a thing possible?
Yes, it is. And that's why you really need to have a finger on the pulse of your community, because, you know, it may answer that question for you without you having to do a whole lot of searching really outside of your community.
Okay.
So if you are interested in helping young women and helping them prepare for college, then you can go to the Boys and Girls Club, you can go to the school district, and you can go to the libraries, and you can say, I have a program that I think will benefit young women ages 12 to 17. How can I be a part of the programming that you already have going on?
Wonderful, wonderful.
So if you set yourself as an expert, even if you don't have a lick of experience, but you just have passion, people will respect that and they will move out on that.
You know, I am so glad that you answered that question that way, because I live with no disrespect to anybody in this community. I live in a community where there is a majority, of the people who are looking to reinvent the wheel instead of just doing collaborative work. They want to go out there and do it all by themselves. And we go back again to, you know, people wanting to do it by themselves. But if there are other organizations who are already doing great things, we just need to go and ask to be part of what they're doing. So
exactly. It's not necessary to reinvent the wheel. And if there's a program that you like, that you'd like to be a part of, and you want to take, you know, bits of that from that, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows that you've thought about it, it shows you've researched it, and it shows that you have taken an opportunity to really break it down so that when they ask you, you'll be able to handle it very clear and concisely, and you don't have to wait for them to do the gap filling for you.
Wonderful. Now, I've heard talk that, and that's maybe what you can find at the grants.gov site. Because I've been hearing bits and pieces that the new administration has set aside certain amount of funding for certain amount of programs and projects in the entrepreneurial slash small business arena. Do you have any knowledge that you can speak on?
Well, I've been working with the stimulus package in the way of grants, both at the federal level and the state level, since it was written. And there is money. And one thing I can say, whether you love or hate Barack Obama, he has made some wonderful strides to the way government is taking place. One of the things that I was very impressed with is that he has made it where the money gets to you quicker, whereas there used to be this really long governmental, just lull. He has made it where, you know, if it's awarded, then they strive to get it to you and in your hands so you can be making a difference as quickly as possible. So I've really been impressed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, ARRA, which is the stimulus fund, they do have monies available. But as you hear on a state basis, is that so many of the states are running at such a deficit that they don't have an ability to be able to give out grants. Well, that's a misnomer. That's not true.
Okay.
There is still money available. You just have to be very conscientious and wise about the way you ask for it. And so, you know, the one thing is that most states have a recovery grant piece on their state website. So I would implore you to definitely go to your state's website and type in recovery grant, and that's the money that's been given by the federal government from the ARRA monies to be able to help the states to move forward programming that was determined that it was needed and that it definitely should be funded. This differs from the state budgets because that money is coming from the federal government. So definitely take an opportunity to look at your state and, you know, address recovery grants, recovery dollars. And I believe that you'll be able to find some things there. That being said, Foundation Center has a newsletter that you can sign up for. It's 100% free. And they will send you different opportunities, you know, once every week or 2 weeks. And, you know, that can be a jump for you that you can begin to compile your places where you can look for monies to be able to meet your needs for your program.
Is the Foundation Center, is that a national organization or do have local? Thank you.
No, it's a national organization, and they have a whole host of free information that you can get to begin to make yourself aware of grant writing, how to do it, what's needed in a proposal, those kind of things. So it's a really good resource for someone who's just starting out, for someone who's had a background in grant writing, and then someone who's experienced. You always have the ability to learn something.
Wonderful. 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 I want to remind listeners that you can call in whenever you have a question. The number to call is 1-646-915-8166. And I am in dialogue with Miss Tanya Bates, and Miss Bates is a consultant in the grant writing arena. And if you are listening for any time, period of time on the internet or on your computer or your phone, I know a lot of my listeners say they listen on their phone while they're traveling. You know that she's giving you some good stuff. So this is one episode you're going to want to circulate to your list and have them to listen. Okay, let us now talk about being a profit business and also a non-profit business. As a profit business who owns a non-profit, can you donate to your own non-profit?
Absolutely. And your for-profit and non-profit could be strategic partners in moving plans for products and services forward. So that's definitely allowed. Of course, you have to follow the rules of the IRS to make sure that no impropriety takes place, but absolutely.
If you have a company that is already a non-profit, could you switch it over? No, I'm sorry. It is already a profit company. And for some reason, it's probably not doing so well. Could you convert that into a non-profit company, or it couldn't happen?
Yes, you could. If you wanted to change that, you definitely could. I would suggest that you definitely look at your state's website where it comes to businesses, commercial, and that kind of information to see what information you would need to submit to them. But pretty much it's more of just like, you know, an articles of incorporation change. You want to make sure that the language is there, you know, for the 501c3 tax-exempt status. If you plan to file for that, you know, with the IRS, you want to make sure that information is in your articles of incorporation.
Because that means they would just convert it and leave you with the same tax ID, or have you had that done before? No. Have you known any clients that did that?
I've not had them where they've switched. you know, from like a for-profit to a nonprofit. But I do know that, you know, it's typically some very easy paperwork, a very minimal fee, and then if you're interested in your 501c3, then you'd need to complete that application and then submit those funds as well.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier on about in your dialogue with prospective clients, and they ask what was your percentage of awardees, and then you said that was not the pertinent question at the time. Let's talk about the 20% that was not awarded. What lessons have you learned in those 20% why those grants were not awarded?
Well, for one thing, you have to really look at what the funding entity is asking for, because you need to cater your proposal to exactly what they're asking for, because at the end of the day, you want something from them, not vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have the language that they want within your application. You need to make sure that you have relayed and answered every question that they've asked. Don't assume that they know anything, because you know what they say, when you assume, you make you know what out of you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make sure if there's language or jargon that the regular layperson wouldn't understand, that you've taken steps to define those terms, explain those terms, you know, clearly and concisely, but just to make sure that, you know, because you're writing it as if they don't know anything about the business, they don't know anything about you, and you have to write it in a way that's informative without presuming that they know anything. So that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you want to make sure that your budget is in order. One thing that I know funding entities hate is to get a project and see that, you know, salaries are 70% of the budget. I will just go on record to tell you, you will not get the grant if you do that.
That's right.
Automatic disqualifier, okay, because that's showing them that you have not yet figured out how to work your proposal to be able to relay that you have staff, and yes, staff may need paying, but you have not trickled it down in a way or refined it in a way where, you know, your staffing needs won't take 70% of a grant. Right now, when I help clients, I usually tell them between 20 to 22% of the total grant award should be budget, should be for salaries.
Good. I tell you, Tanya, you just read my mind, because that was what I was going to ask you next, if you can get a grant to pay salaries. But you just answered that.
Right.
So I don't have to ask you. So, yeah, we spoke about why some of your 20% wasn't awarded. And then, with someone with your skill and expertise comes the next question. How did that slip through your fingers that you didn't get the right language or all the things that you mentioned? And as a matter of fact, maybe this happened early in your career, but it's still part of the history. So let's talk about that.
Well, one thing that's really important is that you have a really good rapport with your client, because it'll be at that point that your client will need to lean on your understanding and not try to push forth what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be very important to educate your client on why you'll need to make sure the budget, the salaries aren't more than 22%. That mm-hmm. you know, becomes mm-hmm. your ability to be able to train your client, because mm-hmm. I've had clients who are very forceful. They only want what they want. They don't want me to tell them anything. And it's like, but you're paying me as the expert, so you need mm-hmm. to listen to what I'm saying. And
that's
it
right.
isn't like you're taking over, but you just have to be firm and yet
mm-hmm.
be able to explain clearly and concisely to your client why, you know, you need to do those things. And so in 18% that I did not get, it's been a variety of things. One, with the down economy,
mm-hmm.
they've reduced funding, or they decided they're not going to fund at all. I
mm-hmm.
count that. I count
mm-hmm.
that as a no.
Okay.
You know, I count
mm-hmm.
that as a no.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, information that they asked for was not put in. If it's a matter of being able to shave it down to where it fits the requirements of the funding entity, you never know what they're going to look for. You never know what they're going to discount you on. So sometimes, you know, it's just not your fault.
Right.
But, you know, because you're not in their minds. You can read their funding requests for proposals, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're going to be able to, you know, meet everything. I mean, you know, it just,
it just happens,
and it's just not, you know, feasible, because if that was the case, you know, everybody would get grants all the time.
That's right. That's right. Now, without even calling names, let's talk about some of the dollar value amount that you have gotten over the years, or some of the programs and all of that that has gotten funded through your skills and expertise.
Well, the highest was $67
million. Powerful.
Yeah, that was $67 million. The lowest has been probably about $5,000.
Wow. Wow. And what kind of a program was that $67 million?
Alternative fuels and alternative sources of energy other than batteries.
Wow. When you got the news that that grant was awarded, how can you remember that moment?
I do.
Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it was just really kind of a, you know, not to say this arrogantly, but I kind of felt like we were going to get it.
You knew who went before you.
Right.
You know who was advocating for that, so you knew. You stood
exactly
in agreement, and you knew it was. Well, congratulations.
Right.
Congratulations. And it's not that it was important for the listeners to hear, but I wanted to show them that you know what you were doing. And I didn't know that. I didn't know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, oh, that is so wonderful. And, you know, especially people need to know, because when they look at you and you look like them, they need to know that they can trust you, because you know what you're doing.
That's
you
right.
You know what you're doing. So,
right.
I'm going to come back to grants, but right now I want to talk about, I know you're also an author, so I want to give you a little minute to relax. Then I want to talk about your writings and all of that. Then we're going to go back to grants,
okay,
if that's okay with you.
Not a problem.
All right, so let's talk about your book.
Okay. I wrote the book and released it. Well, it's been a cumulative work, but I released it in 2004, and I started my own publishing company at that time as well. I had left law school, and I wanted to do something to help women, because I just felt like there was something that was missing. There was a disconnect, and so I wanted to do something to show them that they weren't the only ones going through anything that they're, you know, your sisters are going through the same thing. It may happen different times in her life, but she's going to go through the same things that you are going to go through. So I wrote the book. It's called One Day's Peace, Journey Through Life. And just kind of put it up there. And it was just really well received. And at the end of it was like, oh, my God, it had won 7 awards. And it was very humbling, because that was my first time out the gate, you know. You know, but it was a blessing, and I ended up going around the country speaking, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience, very cathartic for, you know, things that I may have had and forgiven myself for, forgiven the other person for, and it was a really, like, almost a release.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. How and where can people get the book?
It's on Amazon, and they can also get it from my website, www.tanyabates.com.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so is there another book in the meeting, in the making now? In the writing?
Actually, there's five.
Oh, congratulations.
I am working on several book projects, but the one that's most important is that I'm getting ready to release my book, Back from the Brink, and that book is about my journey being ill and not getting good, good care.
Well,
I
hope you would honor us by coming back to do that release here on this show.
Absolutely.
You know, we would love that. Publishing company, let's talk about that and some of the steps one can take to get that going. Because there's a lot of us who are thinking that, and we are wondering, does that make sense for us to do?
Well, you really have to decide, like, what your motive is. I didn't want anyone to stifle my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I, went ahead and decided to, do that in spite of everybody else. Also, when you work that hard on something, you want a good market share,
Yep.
So
all good points that you just brought out. Mm-hmm.
So I decided to self-publish, and I, of course, once again, I did my research and got a book and, began to break the book down, and then it walked me kind of step-by-step through it, and I decided I didn't want to go through a vanity press because, they weren't really going to do any marketing or advertising for me. I was going to be responsible for doing that myself, and I felt like, well, if I'm responsible for all that, then I need to keep my money.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And I tell you, Tanya, that question was for me because I'm on the drawing board now where I'm thinking about doing the same thing for the same reason. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so assertive in building my social media relationships because
mm-hmm.
I know that will help me at the back end when that is so. Because so many of us are out there that are creative and talented, and we are being strangled and stifled and cannot get up.
Mm-hmm.
So as you put it, keep your money and do the work. So thank you for your willingness to share that.
Not a problem.
Is there
It's really not a hard process. I mean, there's steps to it, but it's really not a hard process.
Okay, okay. Now, who are some of the people that you can serve? What category?
For which thing?
For the grant writing.
Oh, anybody that owns a business,
mm-hmm.
Anybody who is an individual that's looking to, has an idea and is looking to find, funding.
Mm-hmm.
Internationally, any NGO and maybe even some foreign governments.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty open field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We are going to give you an opportunity before we close our conversation to put your information in the chat room for people to get it, and we're also going to ask you to repeat it verbally before we go, so those who will be listening down the line will be able to contact you to utilize your services.
Absolutely.
So is there anything in your expert mind that you wanted to speak about pertaining to grants that I have not yet asked you?
Well, the one thing that I really want to drive home is that, you know, when you get with the grant writer, I can't tell you how many times people ask me, can you just do this for free, or can you do it and get your money on the back end? The one thing I want to drive home to the listeners is that grant writing is like any other business, and, you know, people have to be paid for their time. And
right.
While you may think your idea is great, all of that kind of stuff, and you have expertise in that, you're also asking this person who has expertise to work with you, to help you to be able to get, you know, your program or service up, working and making money for you. So, you know, value what people bring to you. You know what I mean? And that's really important because I can't tell you how often, you know, people just kind of devalue, you know, they want you to do it, but they want you to do it for free.
Right, right, right.
And just because it's your purpose doesn't mean you shouldn't get paid.
Exactly, exactly, especially those of us in the spiritual arena. I know that a lot of times people you're sitting on the pews with are the ones who really don't think they need to compensate you for
right.
your skills and expertise.
And once again, there's a lot of people that look just like you that will not want to pay you. And I'll tell people will waste your time if you let them. You have to learn how to be able to hear and wade through the bull crap and be able to move forward, because people will waste a lot of your time on nothing, and they will, you know, I'm a person that don't mind sharing information and sharing resources and things like that, but I've learned how to kind of weed through it, and, you know, if you're wasting my time, I can tell that.
I tell you something, I have a friend, she's good at that. It's a lady I just met back in June, and we just now have a wonderful professional relationship, and I was sharing with her a connection that I got on Facebook and what the woman was saying. And I even read the thing for her. And she said to me, well, Daphne, what did you get out of what she wrote? And I told her what I get. She said, no, you want to hear what I got? I said, yeah, because I'm always excited to see what she picks up that is separate from me. She said, this woman wants you to work for her organization in D.C. and overseas, and she's not going to pay you a dime. And I went silent. She said, you need to change the dialogue in which you reply to the next email to her. And I said, great. And then I switched the dialogue, Tanya, and she was right. The lady went ahead to tell me she know that I can help her to secure funding, and I can help her to promote what she's doing and all of that stuff. And I called my friend back and I thanked her, because I'm never looking deep enough to find out all those things about about people, you know? My next question is, what's the time frame between submitting the grants and when it is awarded?
It really differs between the funding entities, but depending on who you are submitting for, you know, that they can tell you that in advance. It's usually in the paperwork. And then with me, with my clients, after we submit the grant, that next week I'm calling.
Okay.
Just to follow up.
Wonderful. All right. The other thing, in order not to be kind of caught with your pants down with, you know, for want of a better description, what are some things that we should not do prior to being awarded the money? You know how you don't want to go order stuff hoping that you get the money to pay for it and it doesn't happen. Things like
Right. That's true. That what you said is very true. But, you know, if you've utilized being able to create strategic partnerships and collaborations wisely, then you shouldn't be spending much money anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Because earlier on you mentioned that grants and that could come into product and services. And I know that for someone who came out of a nonprofit background, I know that because there were times when our copying was done at this place in lieu of money. And there
right.
was, you know, the food that was ordered for our meeting and all those stuff. So if you partner right, you're not going to be spending a lot of money anyhow.
That's right.
Now,
and that takes time to figure out how to do that.
No.
But if you have somebody that's really good on your support team, they'll have done it. And they'll be able to share that with you.
Okay. Power team. Yeah, I like that. I love to use that. Tanya, they are some talented miners. I tell you, these kids are something, man.
Mm-hmm.
At what age can someone begin to apply for grant? Is there an age limit?
Oh, yes, you have to be an age of consent to be able to enter into a contract. So that's
okay.
18.
Okay. So
now there are some grants that you can do as a student.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some, you know, sign things there. But as far as, like, grants from the federal government and stuff like that, those mm-hmm. you typically need to be 18. Like I said, there are those that are for the children that you know, they can, you know, do, but then they do need to have a parent or guardian,
yeah.
You know, speak up on. And I'd be more than happy to give you the name of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's Youth Service.
Youth Service.
America.
America.
And you can just Google them and then sign mm-hmm. up for their free newsletter. And
mm-hmm.
And their newsletter is chock full of grants that children can apply for to get programming dollars for their
mm-hmm.
program, schools and the like. And then also that you can apply for as an adult as
mm-hmm.
well as professional development type opportunities.
Let's say I have a brilliant minor, have phenomenal idea. Can I put that idea together to apply for the grant and have that child as part of the plan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's absolutely, you absolutely can do that.
All right. All right. I want to encourage somebody to call in. Just show the sister some love. I mean, call in. You're hearing. I know you're listening from work and all of that, but just whisper in the phone and keep your volume down. If you have a question for Tanya or if you have been benefited from Tanya's work in any way, call and share that. The number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And I'm spending this time with Tanya Bates. So let us hear from you. Yes, Tanya. So what are some other brilliant insights you want to pass on to us this morning?
Well, definitely don't be limited by small thinking. I can't tell you how many of my clients I have to retrain the way they think because, you know, they're not used to thinking of themselves in a capacity of leadership to be able to bring their programming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that, you know, if you limit yourself by your thinking, you're going to limit your ability to be able to get what you want because, you know, that comes through your proposal.
That's right.
I mean, if you don't believe it, why should anyone else?
That's right. They say if you shoot for the sky and you fall, you're going to be among the stars.
That's
but if
right.
you only shoot for the stars and then you fall, you're going to be bombed down here flat out. So
that
is good idea. Stretch, you know? That's what success is all about.
I do it. I do it. You know, I'm not telling you anything that I don't do. So
that's right. That's right. That's right. That's what I tell people all the time. I said, you know, when I coach a client, I'm not coaching you based on what I learn at coaching school
right.
or what I read in the books. Yes, I tell you some of those, but 90% of what I'm telling you is what I've been through. I've
right.
been there, done that, and when I tell you, I'm telling you from my heart. It's not
right.
coming from my head. I want to take this opportunity to welcome Tony 222 to the chat room. Tony, we are here with Tanya Bates. Tanya is an expert in the grant writing arena. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us your questions. So, with that being said, so we spoke about the different sources that the government has. You gave us three websites that we can go through and become part of their mailing list to get their newsletter and other valuable information that they sent out. You spoke about different ways that we can get money. Questions to ask to make sure the person, the grant writer you're working with, has the knowledge, the skills, and the expertise. You spoke about how to run a profit and a nonprofit business and how they can be a kind of joint entity. You just have to follow the guidelines of the IRS. So it's all good things. You spoke about how you are operating a creative business by being a jewelry designer. And you're also expanding and extending that to others to help bring about a difference in their life. You spoke about what percentage of the funding should go to salary, and it should not exceed between 20 and 22%. You
That's
also
right.
spoke about having the right team around you, as a matter of fact, to help you to make sure that things is get done the correct way. And because what I got out of that is that where I am short, if I have the right team of experts around me, I like to call them my power team. If
right.
I have them around me, they can help me get my act together.
Right.
You told us that we must research, do our homework, do our due diligence before we go sit with that person. The person we are working with needs to include us in this process as much. We need to be an integral part of that. And just highlighting some of the things that we've been talking about for the past hour and a half. What next, Tanya?
Well, once you feel like, you know, you definitely have a good handle on your material as far as target population, your programmings, where you'd like to do it, with whom you'd like to do it, an idea of potential strategic partners, and, you know, how those partners will be used. You have a really good picture of, okay, what's next. It's that point where you are then ready, really ready, to begin to research for the grants. Because I have a lot of people who I talk to that they're in the research phase, but they haven't done anything to truly develop their projects and services so that if they were in the elevator with Bill Gates and he wanted the elevator version, they couldn't give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be able to have that down to where you know it, like the back of your hand, because more often than not, you're going to be in the elevator with someone that could, you know, quite possibly help you. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be able to learn how to speak clearly, concisely, confidently, so that, you know, not only do you believe it, but they believe it too.
That's right. That's right.
And they won't deem it a waste of their time. So once you do that, then you're ready to start your research. Go ahead and begin to look at free websites. I give pause to anything that wants you to pay them for you to apply for a grant. And the reason I say that is, you know, we're in the age of the internet, but there's a lot of scams out there. So be mindful that technically you shouldn't be paying, like, a monthly fee or anything like that to get information about grants. With a little bit of work, you will be able to, you know, begin to build your network of partners and information partners where you can begin to go to them. Or like I do, I get so many notifications in my box that it's really rare that I have to go outside of there to, you know, find, you know, research for my clients. So if you do it properly, you definitely will be able to, you know, it'll be a good, smooth transition. You should be able to understand each and every step and, you know, be able to explain to someone else if you need them to.
What about, there is a book I'm trying to, let me see. I think it's called National Grants. Is that a document that you are familiar with? And if so, how beneficial is it to us?
National Grants is what you called it?
Yeah, it's a big thick book that they go around the country and they have seminars. Like a friend of mine bought it, and I tell her I didn't know how good it was or anything. She bought it. I think she paid $1,500 or something.
Most things you can get in the library. You know, there's lots and lots of, you know, library materials that you can get that you don't have to pay for, as well as internet-type things. So, you know, I'm not a big proponent of buying books. I will go to the library and check out the new kid on the block in the way of books. But that's the way that I would suggest that you definitely go when you're doing your research, is to the library and, you know, check out books and, you know, that kind of thing, so that you're not spending a whole lot of money on things that are outdated or will become outdated as soon as you get them or that are just not relevant to what you need. Because typically you'll find very quickly what is not relevant to what you need.
Right, because what happened when I called her up to let her know I was going to have you on the show on what we're going to be talking about, she said, oh, well, she already have this book, and I asked how long she had it and if she had gotten any grants out of it, you know? And she couldn't answer me that question. And that's why I asked.
See, that's $1,500 that she could have spent possibly with a grant writer to get you know,
good results.
You know, get her going.
And I didn't know, because you have been out there for a large number of years, I didn't know that if that was some book that you were familiar with.
Yes, I am. But I always say utilize your library. It's free and that's what it's for.
That's right. Tanya, why don't you please I know you're in the chat room. Can you go ahead and type your contact information there? And I want you to also repeat it now, and we are going to have you repeat it again at the end of the show. So we want to put it in the chat room for the people who will come to the chat room so they can see that and speak it for those who are listening to us online. That's not in the chat room. So I'm here. You're listening to Daphne Clark Hudson on the Daphne's A New Day show. And my expert and guest today is Mrs. Tanya Bateson. Tanya is a guru, if you may, in the grant writing arena, because anybody that got so much, what, $68 million or something awarded, she is a guru, and that she is Tanya R. Bates. And she's going to be putting her information there in the chat room, her website, her if she has a phone number, she wants for people to call. And she's also going to be repeating it so you can hear it for those who will be listening later on to the archive here. So I'm so thrilled about this segment today, and I know that the listeners will be getting a wealth of information here, because 2011 is just around the corner. And instead of ripping your hair out about what coulda, shoulda be, here is some valuable information that will help you to get things up and going. So it's information is right there in the chat room. Just so Tanya can get a sip of water. Her website is m1international.com. Info at TanyaBates.com. And she is on Twitter. You can catch the sister on Twitter. So check her out there. She's also on LinkedIn. Her Twitter is twitter.com/trbates1. And her LinkedIn is linkedin.com/IN/TanyaRBates. So there you got it. Connect with her. You can look her up on Facebook. I know she's on Facebook and all of that too. So reach out to her and just get connected. So back to you, Miss Tanya.
Yes.
And thank you so much for putting that information there, and we'll make sure we pass it on again before we get off. So we know you're working on 5 books and all of that. What can we look forward to from you in the next 4 years?
Well, I'm hoping to have some jury of mine, a jury line, either on QVC or HSN. And I'm also hoping to have one of the major retailers carrying, a line of jewelry as well. So those are the two big things as well as far as the jewelry is concerned. With the grant writing, just more of the same, striving to help people to make their dreams come true and be able to change the lives of others by assisting them with getting grant funding. And also to train people so that they know about grant writing, grant proposal writing, evaluation, so people can take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm. I know we mentioned at the top of the show that you have done grants internationally and everything, and as a matter of fact, still is. Where are some of the countries that you have written for?
Australia, Japan, China, Africa, and I did some things in what used to be the Soviet Republic.
Wonderful. So you are listening, and if you know anybody in those parts of the world, or if you are looking to get to any part of the world, now you can, call Tanya up and talk to her and say, how can we do that? Where do we find the grants for that? How do you balance? You're a mom of a young child. You're doing all the grants for everybody that you can help. You're involved in your community. How do you do it?
Well, I will say this. Family is very, very important. And I had a major medical issue in 2008, which, you know, left me unable to really do a lot of what I do now. And so I've been battling back to get well from that. And what I can say about that is family is so important. And my family has, you know, been around me from the beginning of my illness to really help me to get much better. I was married. I'm getting ready to be divorced. But the family is very important, and I think that's how I balance. And I also don't ever get the big head, you know, like, oh, I'm so much and I'm doing so much, because I understand that I can't do anything without God's intervention. And,
yes.
You know, that's just the bottom line. So I don't, you know, I just begin and end each day with words of gratitude, how I can be a better person, a better servant for him, better mom, better daughter, better friend, better sister, all those hats that I wear. I just strive every day to learn something new and be a blessing to someone, whether I know them or not.
And we don't know what the illness is, but the one thing I'm going to do right now, on behalf of my listeners and followers and supporters, we want to send you positive prayers and energy for total, complete healing.
Thank you.
And we know that that will be done, because God has you on a journey that is touching lives globally.
Absolutely.
And He has work for you to do. So we just pray for your complete, total healing in the name of Jesus.
Well, I'm about 75% there. I'm about 75% there. And, you know, and you're so right about him and him expanding my reach, because when I was working a regular job, I was so afraid to step out on faith. You cannot be afraid. I mean, you can, you know, it'll maybe a little uncomfortable, but if you say you believe in him, then you believe in him, and you go ahead and step out, because he'll make those two steps. Where you make one, he'll make two.
Yeah, we just have to trust him, Tanya. Mm-hmm. We just
and it's
must
not like he's a mystery.
Him.
I don't want
That's
people
right.
to make it seem like, you know, he's a mystery, because he's not. What he rewards is your effort. He already knows the result. You just don't know it. But
exactly
what
before.
Exactly.
He knows the end from the beginning, before we were created. Yes.
And so he, you know, he rewards the effort. And so I think it's so important for us to just, you know, stand up and, you know, pick up our cross. Don't be afraid to do that. And because a lot of people are, they don't want to, because that's hard work. But you can't be afraid. You got to step up and step out, and he will make the provision. That's 100% true. And, you know, as far as my illness or whatever, you also have to decide that you're going to live life.
Amen.
Live life and not live sick, because I
Hallelujah.
Have to decide, well, I'm going to live my life, and then if I get sick, I'll deal with it. But I'm going to live. And so that's what, you know, that's what we have to decide. Are you going to live? And is it worth you, you know, on those days you don't feel too good, to still get up and, you know, press forward, press in and press forward. And, you know, it's worth it. It's doable. And he's not a God that he would lie.
Amen. Amen.
He just
Amen.
He doesn't.
Amen. You know, one question just came to mind. The Spirit just laid it in my heart. About grant writing. So we're going all over the board, but I think that's all right. Can an organization pay the consultant out of the grant that they're awarded?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Let me be clear, though. Most grant writers don't work on contingency, so you will have to pay something. It'll be up to the grant writer to determine what you have to pay, but you will have to pay something.
Yes. Can it be stipulated, the fee that you're going to pay the consultant, can it be stipulated in the grant or no?
Well, you can ask, you know, like when you do your budget, you can figure like whatever you pay the consultant, you know, like for instance, with the $900,000 grant and you pay the consultant $16,000 to write it. When
right.
you write that grant, you're going to add that $16,000 back in, so you'll be reimbursed for what you paid. So
okay,
technically,
for the
you
budget.
Shouldn't be out anything.
Right, for the budget. Okay. Yeah,
right.
I wanted to get that out. All right. You know, I'm looking at and I'm saying, whoo. You know, they say, Tanya, that time goes fast when you are having fun.
Right.
Now, who would believe we are down to a mere 14 minutes out of this time? And it's like we just got on the phone.
That's
you know,
right.
I had a lot. I had a great time. I got some great information. I know that the listeners will be floored. And I know that this will be one segment that will be downloaded and loaded, downloaded, downloaded, downloaded. So now I want to give you the opportunity to just summarize our conversation. What would you like to leave the listeners with?
Well, you know, what I'd have to say is, you know, be very diligent and live life on purpose. Don't be afraid to step out on faith and always surround yourself with people that are doing as well as you are or better than you are or doing what you want to do, because then you always have something to ascend to. And I don't mean from the perspective of, you know, being covetous. I don't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean you always want to make sure to surround yourself with people who are doing things that you want to do. Therefore, you won't become stifled. Your creativity won't become stifled. My grandmother used to say, if you're the smartest person in your circle, you need to change your circle.
Oh, my heavens, Tanya. That's what I tell people all the time. And I practice it. If I am the smartest one here, it's time for me to run.
That's right.
And that's the fact. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
And that's not mean. That's not
no.
mean. It's just that's called the season of a
exactly.
relationship.
Exactly. And that's what we need to do as a people. Know when the season has come to an end.
Right.
Let it go and move on. Because
that's
I mean.
Hard. That's hard. But people get comfortable. And as I said
yes.
at mm-hmm. the beginning of the show, you have to really fight against complacency, because I think that and laziness is the worst enemy.
And if you have outgrown a group and you are overstaying your season, you're hindering the growth of someone else.
Right.
And you got to know when it's time to move on and to allow them. Okay, so what else do you want them to remember out of what you say? I know it's a lot we have said, but just to give them a couple of bullet points, what else do you want to leave them?
Take an active part in your process. Don't
mm-hmm.
be a, you know, a onlooker. Be a active part of whatever you're doing. And, you know, be found studying and continuously trying to educate yourself so that you will learn more and more and more and more and more. And you will always be able to speak intelligently about your vision, what you'd like to do, why and how.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, you know, you will constantly be so busy living your own life, you won't have any time to be in anybody else's business.
That's right. I love you already, Tanya. I just met you, what, a week or something ago? I
yeah.
just love you, love you, love you. That's my philosophy. I'm too busy in my business. I ain't got time for you, you know?
That's right.
So
that's right.
I want you, Tanya, would you please go ahead and just read your information for the people?
Yes, my website is www.Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, Bates, B-A-T-E-S.com. And the business, that's for my books. For the business, it's www.m1international.com.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And
do your other
you'll
stuff.
You'll find out about my credentials and everything there. And the phone number is 517-204-4197.
Mm-hmm.
And the email is info, I-N-F-O. At Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, Bates, B-A-T-E-S.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, my sister and friend and colleague, I'm taking all of those titles. I don't, You're not going to deprive me from that. I don't care if you take it and affirm it, but I'm putting it out there.
Well, I
want to thank you for coming and spending this gratitude week with me and for investing in my vision and calling and in the people who I call supporters and listeners. As I had said before, on behalf of all of them, I want to pray your continued complete healing and continued success. Continue doing God's work. Continue touching lives. And I tell you, all those people out there who just sat and just listened and didn't call in, I just pray the next time she comes back, you all be lighting up this board and showing some love, because she really invested and deposited in us this morning. Give your son a great big gratitude hug from me and tell him he has one of the best mommies that there is.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, Miss Daphne.
You are welcome. I also want to remind the people who are local to me here or joining cities and state. I've have out on my Facebook information about the Dreaming Room that is coming up beginning January 8th. I want you to come dream with me so that you can awaken the entrepreneur within you, so that you can be living your God-given purpose and talent. And you don't have to sit around and blame the city and the federal government and the neighbor next door. You can get up and do something for you. At the top of the show, I had challenged you to develop a list today, 27 things, or maybe I said 21. You can do 27. I'm sure you can find that. 27 things that you are grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Might be 27 things or 27 people. Do that and look on the impact of your life. I want you to have a great Thanksgiving Day tomorrow if you are here in the U.S. And for those of you who are listening to us in other parts of the world, have a magnificent gratitude week. I want to remind you that you were created for greatness. You have a destiny. I want you to follow that destiny and do not allow anyone to take you off their railroad tracks. If it is to be, it is up to you. You listen to Tanya Bates doing a magnificent presentation, and she shared with you how she's doing it. Instead of being a witch on the job she was, that was stressful and taxing on her, she tapped into her creativity and she began a jewelry line. What are your skills and talents? What are the things that are laying dormant in you that you have not yet tapped into? I am telling you, 2011 is around the corner. It is your time to wake up and take action. I love each and every one of you. I'm grateful that you decide that you want to be a follower of the A New Day show. All 25,000 plus of you followers, I love each and every one of you. I am grateful and extremely appreciative of your follow and support. Tanya, I love you and I thank you for spending this time with me. And
of
I want
course.
You to just enjoy. Don't eat too much turkey because you're going to go sleep and you won't be able to make any jewelry. So
I know. Do anything else. I know.
You can send me some sweet potato pie and some collard greens. But don't
I sure
you,
will.
Don't you send me any turkey. I love you, my sister, and stay blessed. I'll be talking with you on the phone.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah.